We're supposed to sing. We're supposed to, and we need to, and I do sing. It just ain't pretty. Amen. Amen. I'm doing my best. You can put that on my tombstone, Miss Rita. I did my best. I did all I could do. But see, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Amen. Someone say preach it. Turn to Isaiah or look on the back of your bulletins or follow along on the slides. We're blessed this morning, amen? Think about it, let it sink in. I know we talk about it a lot, and I know it gets blasé because you hear it so much. But listen, man, you are blessed. We are blessed. We serve a risen Savior. So give him some praise. Give him some praise. Amen. See, humanity has a big problem. We have a humongous problem. I'm not talking about your dwindling savings account. I'm not talking about the obesity situation in America. I'm not talking about none of that stuff. I'm talking about the biggest problem we have, and that is a sin problem. Amen. See, we were born into sin. Can I get a witness? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We were born into sin. No one had to teach you how to sin. It comes natural to us, and we are really, really good at doing it. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. Now, look, I've used this as an example before, but around my house, there's nothing as pure. This is about as pure as you're going to get at my house. And that's little Gracie. That's as close as you can get. And see, I didn't have to sit down with her and teach her how to sin. I didn't have to do none of that. She didn't have to take several classes to be a member. Matter of fact, it's kind of cute now, but we have to nip this type of rubbish in the bud. Amen. We got to teach them. We got to train them up in the way they should go. But see, when we take little Gracie, she's three, when we take her to go places and she's playing with your kids' toys or she's found something that she likes, she's got this thing where what she likes to do now is grab something that she thinks is cool and kind of tries to hide it. You can be on the lookout for this. She'll try and hide it so when it's time to go, she can grab it and take her home with her. So she can take it home with her. I never once said, Gracie, if you like something that's not yours, hide it, try and sneak it out the door, and if you can get it in the car, it's pretty much yours. Never said that to her. She picked that up all on her own. You know what I mean? And we were the same way, amen? Be honest, tell the truth, right? We're in church. Matter of fact, earlier this week, I was in another room. This is a good one right here. I was in another room, and I babysit little Gracie while Rachel Jean's doing her thing. And she came up to me, and she was covered from head to toe in permanent marker. And I was like, what in the world, Gracie? What'd you get into? And she let me know right away. She said, there's permanent marker all over the floor in this room. And all over the bed. But she said, don't worry. Don't worry. It wasn't me. Because I said, what did you do, Gracie? What did you do? I'm going to get in trouble. You know what I mean? I got an answer for this. You know what I mean? This is going to lead to a lot of bad questions. Like, where were you? How was this able to happen? All this sort of thing. You know what I mean? So I start getting scared myself. You know? And she says, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Marie did it. Marie did it. Now, see, that just shows how cunning we are. You know what I mean? And how we will go to all these lengths to try and cover up our shortcomings. Amen? See, Marie isn't the neighbor kid. Okay, that would be a problem in itself. Marie is my dog. But see, that just shows how smart little Gracie is because she went through the little file in her mind and see all the other kids were at school because she usually blames it on her big sister, Sarah. You know what I mean? It's either Sarah or Sam, usually, who she'll blame it on. But she was like, a little bit of quietness, and, you know, these gears are turning in her head. She's like, well, who can I blame it on? And she says, the dog. And she was like, hopefully, that's going to work. You know, she, She blames it on the dog. Now, my dog is a knucklehead, and if he could do it, he would have done it, but my dog didn't do that. I said all that to say that we have a problem. We have a sin problem, each and every one of us. Amen? Can you back that up by Scripture? Somebody asked me that. Josh asked me, can I back that up by Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Yes. Yes, there is, you can find it all over the Old and New Testament. But to save time, Houston, I got one verse. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep, wave to your neighbor and say, hello, sheepies. That's what we are. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's all of us. Just like James says, we've all fallen. As Christian folks, we fall. Amen. But our sins are forgiven. Amen. But all of humanity, we all have a sin problem. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. See, that's the problem. Jesus says, God says, the good book says, this is the right thing to do. This is what you do. This is the God-honoring thing to do. But see, we want to do our own thing. Amen. We want to do not the right thing, but we want to do our own thing, the selfish thing. You know where all sin comes from? It's at the base of it, it's selfishness. It's selfishness. I know I shouldn't be doing this. You know, I'm talking to Christian folks right now. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know what the good book says. I know what Granny told me. You know what I mean? But I got this one coming to me. I deserve this, or ain't no one going to know about this. Amen? It's selfishness at the very base of it. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now listen, here's the good news. The problem is there's sin in the world. That's the problem. That's a bad problem because the creator of the universe can have nothing to do with sin. Your sin, my sin, repulses the Lord. He loves you. Did you hear what I said? He loves you with an undying love, but he hates our sin. And he can't have anything to do with our sin. And so, since we all sin, we have a humongous problem. Amen? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now listen. And the Lord has laid on him. Who? Jesus. That sounded very preacherific, didn't it? Okay, I'm working on it. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, your wickedness, my wickedness, was laid on the back of Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that get you fired up? We're going to eat in a minute. The kids are going to have fun. And when you leave here, you can go do whatever you want to do. But you're here right now. You're not here to be popular. And you're not here to be seen. But you're here because you love the Most High God. So let's just give him some praise this morning. Let's just get excited. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 5 and verse 18. Check it out. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. So I didn't have to train my children how to sin. Amen. We've established that. My mom and daddy didn't have to train me how to sin because it went right on down the line. From the beginning of creation, in the Garden of Eden, when they only had one thing, just one thing, they weren't supposed to mess with. But how many of you guys know it's that one thing that you ain't supposed to have? That's right there in front of your eyes. You know what I mean? We can rebuke it. We can push it away. We don't have to give in to it. You know what I mean? I'm talking right now. I'm talking about to Christian people. Christian folks, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of, I don't care what church you grow up in. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, if you love Jesus Christ, if you've by faith accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and he can give you and wants to give you the strength to say no, because there is temptation in this world. Amen? There's things that we ain't supposed to be messing with. They had one single thing they weren't supposed to be messing with. But they got a little closer, they got a little closer, they got a little closer. And then they end up messing around with it. Amen? A lot of us are getting a little closer, right? A little closer. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so our great, 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 all God's people said great, 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 enough. Good job. It all, way back there, they messed it up. They dropped the ball. But you would have done it, right? We would have done it if it got to us. And it affects each and every one of us. Amen? Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act, this is good. This is good. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Adam and Eve dropped the ball. Adam and Eve dropped the ball. Jesus Christ did not drop the ball. Amen? He didn't give in to sin. He didn't give in to temptation. You know what I mean? Because he loves you and me, he knew what he was going to have to go through. You know what I mean? When he was on his way to Jerusalem, he knew what was awaiting him. But he loves us so much. He was looking through that pain, that torment. He was looking through that to see what was lying on the other side of it. Amen? Therefore, just as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For by the one man's disobedience, think about that. Because I don't know about you, but my Sunday school teacher said it was the lady that first bit the fruit, right? But see, that man was putting authority over her. Where was Adam during all this? You know what I'm saying? Think about that. Think about that. Somebody should have said, hey. Well, there was only two people. But you know what I mean? Where was Adam during this whole situation? For by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. There it is. You were born with it. But see, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live that way. Matter of fact, it's decision time. If you haven't made that decision, you need to do it today. You need to do it today. Don't push away what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your heart and in your life, because I'm here to tell you, amen. Listen up. You promise. 1, 2, 3. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Amen. By the one man's obedience, talking about Jesus this morning, by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Amen. Give them some praise this morning. Look with me real fast at Acts 4 and verse 12. Jesus paid that debt that he didn't know. He came down here and he didn't sin not one single time. And he's the only one that could pay that debt. I know your grandma loves you, and I know your college professor's proud of you. But no matter what they told you, this is the truth. This is the truth. There is only one way to eternal life. There is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved. Amen? It's not about being sincere and just trying to be a good person, because at the end of the day, just being a good person will put you in the pits of hell right between Pol Pot, Stalin, and Hitler. I don't know if those folks are down there, but I do know this. If we do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what's waiting for us. And don't get mad at Jesus. Don't get mad at God for sending you to hell, because he's not the one sending you to hell. We're sending ourselves there. We need to be excited. We need to be amazed about the fact that he says, I don't want you to go there. Matter of fact, I am going to lay down my son's life for you, because I love you. I love you. Life and death is right in front of all of us. To the Christian, to the believer, here's life, here's death, and the choices you want to make. You know what I'm saying? But to the unbeliever, you need to look at it like this. And there's consequences for all of it. But I'm talking about you that have not made that decision this morning. Amen? Life and death hangs in the balance. Forever and ever and ever. Eternal damnation, eternal agony. I'm talking about being destroyed. It ain't about nothingness. You're not going to go into nothingness. That's not how it works. You see what I'm saying? Eternal separation from our Lord and Savior. Acts 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. Go ahead and say in no one else. There's only one way to be saved. Okay? There's only one way to be saved. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you could get there on your own, give them some praise. If one of us could get there on our own, what in the world did Jesus die for us for? There's no one that can get there on their own. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You ain't good enough. I ain't good enough. Look at the Ten Commandments. Real fast, look at the Ten Commandments in your mind. You broke one of those, we just condemned ourselves. Well, let's see. What's an easy one? Probably all of us know. Thou shalt not kill. I ain't never done that. Man, what does Jesus say? If I have hatred in my heart, same thing, man. Same thing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No. What if you look at a woman with lust? Woot, there it is. All God's people said, woot, there it is. Yeah. We don't even have to get into thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Right? Thou shalt not steal. I mean, little Gracie done checked that off like 10 times this week. And see, here's the thing, man, is Gracie's got to work out her own salvation with fear and trembling. We all do. God doesn't have any grandchildren. But if you have loved ones in your life that are not saved and they couldn't be here today or they didn't want to come, you know what I mean? You better get on your knees and begin to pray for them and give them to the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. And if they're in your life, they're in your life for a reason. Amen? Amen? And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let's go to the next slide. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Okay, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, is God in human form. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Jesus is God. Accept no imitations, no duplications. Whatever anybody says, if you're in a church, if your grandma or your aunt or your uncle or this really cute guy is trying to get you to a church that says Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, you need to run out of there. You need to get out of there. You need to get out of there because Jesus Christ is God, 100% God and 100% man. Amen. Can I get a witness? Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Think about it. Let it sink in. Jesus, God, made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. Did you hear what I said? He made himself nothing for me and for you. Amen. Taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, see, being born in the likeness of men, he was definitely man, but he was much, much more than a man. Amen? He was the Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, who stepped off of heaven's throne, amen, and did this for me and for you. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. If God, Jesus Christ, can humble himself and be obedient to God the Father, Cannot we be thankful enough to humble ourselves? Humble ourselves and be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm talking about, can't we humble ourselves and follow this book? Can't we be obedient to what this book says? If Jesus Christ humbled himself in obedience with God the Father. Amen? And Jesus Christ is our template. And we are to imitate him. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Can we humble ourselves to the point of death? Amen. Think about it. What is the idol in your life this morning? What are you thinking about right now? What are you really thinking about? Are you thinking about what's been done for you? But I'm not picking on anybody. I sat in that office for 2 days, and my mind kept wandering about a million and one cares. About all these things, man, these burdens that I have. Not your burdens. A little bit your burdens. I'm talking about my junk. My idols, man, kept keeping me out of this study. So what are you thinking about right now? Like, I can't really think about nothing because you're really loud today, Paul. You're like super loud. It's Easter. He is risen. Give him some praise. That's what you do when you lose your train of thought and you're a preacher. You say, "He is risen!" Which, I didn't lose my train of thought. 50-50 chance I'm losing my train of thought right now. But anyways, what are our idols? Where does your mind go to, man? Is it something edifying? Is it something pure? Is it something holy? Because the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in obedience to his Father and laid down his life for you, for me. Amen? And we need to be humbling ourselves in obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the James stuff, what we've been studying in James, that hard, difficult stuff that nobody really wants to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That is a cute, cute baby, Miss King. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. There's a lot. No one's going to get to pick or choose how they're going out of here. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about front door or back door. I'm talking about when you take your last breath, we don't have much of a say in that. But see, Jesus Christ died the most worst possible way. That penalty, crucifixion, was for the violent criminal, the murderer, and stuff like that. That was the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He never once sinned, but he paid the ultimate penalty for me and for you because he loves me and you. Amen? And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's not it. Think about the scourging. Think about that. Think about that flogging for 1 second, okay? I want you guys to grab a hold of this, the whip with all the different lashes, with the bones and the iron, and how it was made. It wasn't made just to slash, but when they would slash, they would pull and it would rip large chunks out of your skin. I'm talking about these people that went through those scourgings. They would do this sort of thing to get confessions and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, if Pilate could have got a confession out of Jesus, his day would have been a lot simpler. Does that make sense? But anyways, this would rip massive chunks of flesh. I'm sorry, little ones, but you need to understand what your Lord and Savior did for you. Okay? This is what he did for you. Because he could, you know the story, you heard it. He could have called down one angel, a legion of angels. He could have done all that. I mean, one angel would have been plenty. Read the Old Testament. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I'm talking about people's organs, throbbing, pulsating organs were exposed when you went through stuff like this. People died during those scourgings, which made the Roman soldiers' day would be done. Okay, no crucifixion. Woot dog, there it is. You know what I mean? Who wants to go get lunch? He didn't die there. He didn't die there. But that's what he went through. And listen, by his stripes, we were healed. The redemptive work had already begun right there. He went through every single bit of that pain. All of it for me and for you. Amen? The mocking. the mocking. Our Lord and Savior, we know what he's done for us. And when we think about the mocking with the crown of thorns and hell king of the Jews and the scepter in his hands and being beat by the Roman soldiers, being spat upon. I don't know about you, man, but never mind. Never mind. He did that for me and for you. So to the Christian in here, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why do we always put that on the back burner? Why is it December we think about the baby born in human flesh, and on Easter we think about the passion and we think about the risen Savior? This should be the center of our existence. What has been done for us. Because if that would truly be the center of our existence, we would hold our tongue. We wouldn't do what is right there in front of us. You know what I mean? We wouldn't do all these things that we have no business doing. But we allow it to go into the back. And I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just get to hang out while I do it. Okay? And he did it. He did it. He did it out of love. He did it out of love. Pilate, Caesar, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Judas, nobody did it. Nobody took it from him. He laid it down because of love. He laid it down out of obedience to the Father. No one takes it from me. You see that? Remember when Pilate said, "Why won't you talk? Hey, man, why won't you talk? Don't you know that I can set you free, or I can take your life? I can take your life." He didn't have a clue what he was talking about. He didn't have a clue. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and he did. And I have the authority. I want everyone to say, "Praise the Lord," if you mean it, if you feel it. Well, good job. Now, that was the test. That was the test. And everyone passed the test. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Now give them some praise. Because that's what he did. He laid it down. He gave his life up for you and me. And when 3 days came around, there was no one in that tomb. Amen? And I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There it is again. Jesus Christ being obedient to the Father. John 19 and verse 30. That would be on the next slide. If not, that's okay. John 19 and verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He laid down his life. He took his last breath when he did everything he was supposed to do on this planet. When he fulfilled the last prophecy, when he did everything that was supposed to be done, he said, "It is finished." I want everybody to say, "It is finished." Okay, the people that aren't really paying attention right now, just really grab hold of it and say, "It is finished." Yeah, because that's what he said with a loud voice, and Satan heard it. Satan heard it. You know what I mean? It's tetelestai, something like that. It's an accounting word. It means paid in full. He paid for our sins. He paid for my sins right there. It is finished. Thank you, Jesus. Don't tell me you don't know what love is. And I know some of us have had a hard one. Some of us don't really know what a father's love feels like. But you can. Some of us don't know what it feels like to have a significant other. Some people have had it pretty tough, man. People in here are hurting. I know it. I'm not discounting that. And in the natural, some of us have real legitimate reasons why we should not forgive somebody. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says, okay? And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Son of God. Amen? Who are we to judge our brothers when Jesus paid for their salvation? I mean, think about it. Think about it, because that hit me that hit me in the belly this week. Because when I get off by myself, I can be a pretty ornery person. I ain't lying to you, Brother Larry. I'm not lying to you, man. I can be downright bad. You know what I mean? And God socked it to me. And it don't feel good, man. I couldn't stand it because I hate when I'm like wrong. I can't stand it. And he pointed it out to me, man. I was reading it. And he's like, man, you are judging your Christian brother. Like, for real, that's what you're doing right now. By this we know love. If you've never felt love, you can feel love this morning because the Son of God shows us what real love is. He shows us. And all God's people said, I want to know what love is. It's the truth, man. He shows us this book from cover to cover. I love you. You messed it up, but I love you and you can be forgiven. I don't want you to spend eternity away from me. I want you to know me. You need to know me. I want you to know me. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Now listen, here's the charge to the Christian. To the unbeliever, you need to accept Christ today. But to the believer, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. To follow this book, to go the extra mile, to love the Lord God with everything that we are, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's our marching orders. Turn with me to the next slide. next slide. There it is. Luke 24 and verse 1. He laid down his life. He gave up the ghost. He did everything he was supposed to do. But you can go to Bethlehem and there's an empty tomb there. I'm sorry. Everybody caught that because everybody was like really, really silent. He was born in Bethlehem. Well, you guys are sharp. He was born in Bethlehem. He was crucified outside of Jerusalem. He was put in a rich man's grave. Although they esteemed him not, they thought he was a criminal. But he's not in that tomb. What a sad bunch of folks you would be. And me, I'd be the king of sad folks in this room, since I'm up here talking about it. If that tomb was not empty, we might as well go fishing. We might as well do something else with our Sunday. Sleep in. Go to Josh and Dina's house. Ride the ponies. That's fun. That's cool. That's hip. That's happening. They got a big old... Never mind. What I'm saying is, this is not a waste of time. If you have not accepted him, you got to do it. You got to do it. This is the only way that leads to life. Nobody will like me. They'll make fun of me. Who cares, man? Weigh it out, my brother. Don't blindly jump into it. Weigh it out. Count the cost. It ain't the easy road. You ain't going to make a lot of friends, but the friends you make will be the real friends. And it might cost you your life, but you need to go in understanding that. You might have to lay down your life, but God laid his life down for you so you can live forever. That sounds like a fairy tale. That is not a fairy tale. Nobody in here checked their intellect, their IQ at the door. This is the realest thing you will ever hear. The Son of God laid down his life. He died for you, and he wants you to be saved. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away. Everyone said, amen. Amen. They found the stone rolled away because this is where the false religions like to say, well, the disciples, to save face, went and stole the body And well, maybe he didn't even really die. There wasn't that many eyewitnesses. Maybe this was all just some clever thing. Yeah. That's wrong. And all God's people said, that's wrong. It is, man. The disciples laid down their lives. The disciples, tons of early Christians, laid down their lives because they knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They saw a resurrected Jesus Christ, and they would not deny him. At what point would you say it was a game, it was a hoax? I'm talking about they're going to let your kids be eaten by lions. You know what I'm saying? They didn't deny Christ. They didn't deny Christ. They were burnt as torches for parties. They were mauled. They were put in animal skins and mauled by wild animals. They were tortured, cut up by gladiators. All sorts of things, man. Satan's been busy. But you see, those disciples followed the template that Jesus left them. And they laid down their lives. Why, though? Because he existed. He was real. He came back from the dead. He did what he said he was going to do. Amen. So you can make that decision today and have peace in your heart. Amen. But on the first day of the week already, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, everyone scratched their head, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them. Two men, what's going on here? Okay, in dazzling apparel. And as they were, okay, two men, dazzling apparel. I don't know. I look pretty dazzling today. I don't know. This is my new shirt. Rachel Jeannie got me my new shirt. You know, I like it. Yeah, but these weren't two ordinary dudes. These were angels. This is getting good. Stood by them in dazzling apparel. So imagine running into this tomb. The stone's been rolled away. And here's two angels just glowing, coming from the throne room, the presence of the Lord God. Anyone getting excited? Yeah, give them some praise. Perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, listen, this is what they said. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. That's all I'm going to say this morning. He is not here, he is risen. James. James, come up here. He's alive. Say it. Come on. He's alive and I'm forgiven. That's all the difference in the world, man. Okay, so we're going to do this thing here. I want you to search your hearts this morning. Maybe this has been a tough year. Maybe you've lost some ground. I'm not saying you're not saved. But maybe it's time to get right with the Lord. But if you have not made that decision this morning, do not. If you've been squeezing your hands, white-knuckling it through this whole thing, just release it, bro. You need to come up here, and I want to pray with you. And don't worry, I'm gonna enjoy some Wrigley Spearmint. This is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow has not been promised to you. I got plans. I got plans. It doesn't matter. No, you don't understand. I gotta go to college in the fall. We don't know how long we have. Thank you. That's like saying the plane you're flying on across country can't crash because there's a baby sitting next to you. Anybody done that before? You got no guarantees in this world except that you are loved. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go through it alone. He has a good plan for you. Scared, don't be ashamed, because all heaven wants to rejoice. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. You ain't got nothing better to do. Let's hang out with Jesus. Give it up this morning.
Dying.